Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
The message with us this morning, as we've had various people from the congregation during these combined worship Sundays share with us the work of God's grace in their life. Today it's Kay Solem. Kay is a member of our church family, and I invite you to join me in welcoming Kay to share with us today.
Let's start this message that I titled Free Choices, Blessing or Curses, with looking at scripture in Deuteronomy 11, 26 through 28. Look today, I am giving you the choice between blessing and a curse. You will be blessed if you obey the commands of the Lord your God, and I am giving you today. But you will be cursed if you reject the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from him and worship gods you have not known before. So before we start, let's pray. Dear God, from creation to the end of times, God allows us to make choices. Please guide our conversation this morning and give me the words that you, Lord, want me to use during our time together. Remind us how important our choices are and how we can learn from great men in history to be guided into correct choices for us. Amen. Psalms 26, 6 and 7 says, I come to your altar, O Lord, singing a song of thanksgiving and telling of all your wonders. As Steve said, I am Kay Solem, and I've been worshiping here at Congo Press with my family since the summer of 1999. When I told my daughter that, she said, that was a long time ago. Yeah, it was, and I'm old, so let's move on. When Steve asked me to consider speaking at this service, I panicked a little and thought, why me? It brought to mind the time in scriptures when God asked Moses to go to Egypt and represent Israel to Pharaoh. He said, I have never been eloquent, I have no experience, and I need a helper. Those were his requests to God. All of Moses' excuses pertained to me, not eloquent, no experience, and help. As I considered this invitation to speak, I prayed and asked God to give me guidance, mostly to find a polite way to turn down the invitation. But God only showed me everywhere I looked and through things I was listening to the text and title of the previous Sunday's sermon. It was When God Calls. We heard the story of Samuel being raised in the temple by Eli. If you recall, Samuel heard a voice calling him three separate times that night, and each of those times he ran to Eli's bedside to see what he wanted. On the fourth calling, he responded, Lord, here am I. My choice was to agree to speak or run away from God's calling and not trust that he could possibly use my story and help me to deliver it. Just as God used Moses to communicate with the Israelites and then with Pharaoh, he must have a message that he wants shared with you. So Steve said, share what God has been doing in your life or a scripture that has been meaningful to you. Then I was reminded of how grateful I am for all he's done for me recently, and I decided, how can I not share that? So here goes. In one of my quiet times with God, he reminded me that I did not have any problem sharing ideas and experiences with my small group. So I actually can speak, not eloquently, but I thought of a way that might make it easier on me this morning. So I need you all to agree to be temporarily in my small group. Be a part of my small circle of friends, and I will be more in my comfort zone. So, choices. I have been spending a lot more time with God now that I am alone in my home after my husband's death about a year and a half ago. I find it easier to listen and perceive God's presence in all things. My life is different. So much has changed, but God has not changed. Talk about so many choices to make, some urgent, some more long-term choices, but knowing that I want God's guidance in each and every one of those choices has driven me to spend time with God. During the last year of sermons, we have looked at God's creation story and followed the story of mankind through the history of Israel with their journeys and adventures. And as I reviewed these stories, it became clear that the choices these biblical characters made followed the theme of follow God and his ways and be blessed, or reject God and be cursed. It was God's idea to give humans the ability to choose, which started in the Garden of Eden. Genesis 2:16 says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" The first story of Adam and Eve is them making a choice of whether to follow God and not eat from the tree of good and evil, or to disregard God's law instruction and to go ahead and take a bite of the tree. Their choice to disregard God's instruction led them to the curse of death and the curse of having to leave the Garden of Eden in the presence of God. Curses that are carried down to all of us today, and we bear the curse of those curses heavily sometimes. Then consider the fantastic adventure that we followed when Moses was leading the Israelites from slavery in Egypt through the plagues. The choice he had was to obey God and approach Pharaoh, a big scary king who had all this power, after each plague, pleading to let his people go. They were blessed with permission to escape from Egypt, then blessed with the parting of the Red Sea, of all things, and then blessed with the closing of the Red Sea to destroy Pharaoh and his whole army. Just think of it. If you were an Israelite going through that water, how could you ever reject God again? God guided and protected them in the desert with a cloud by day and fire by night. He fed them manna and quail for food. He even gave them water right out of a rock. How could you not have faith in that God? But as we read on, this journey goes on all the way through Exodus 16 and 17. And at the end of that journey, God chooses Israel when they agree to obey. So even God has choices. Exodus 19:5 says, "Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession." Ooh, to be a treasured possession of God? Why would you ever, ever, ever consider not going God's way? God gives them the Ten Commandments, written in stone by his finger, no less, as a permanent record of his covenant to his chosen people. And yet, after all the nation of God's chosen has been blessed by all these miracles, the Israelites choose later to reject God's command and they worship idols. God forgives, and Joshua ends up leading them into the promised land and protects them in battles with God's helping hand. God provides all they need to thrive in their new territories. The cycle repeats of obey God, receive blessings, live in peace, until the current leader dies, and then the new ruler does evil in the sight of the Lord. This brings curses upon the people, and God raises up a prophet or a judge or a king to bring the people back to God where they can repent for mercy. Then God saves them, and they obey, which brings blessings again. Here in this story, I begin to get frustrated with the people of God and their lack of true conviction to the one true God. As a mother and a grandmother, I just want to shout, where are the parents and grandparents leading the next generation? Didn't they teach their kids all this stuff God did for them? Where is leadership for these people? So I would like to go back to my friend Moses, who had this to say in his dying days. Usually your last words are kind of the most important of your life. And so this is what he tells Israel. In Deuteronomy 30, 15 to 20, Moses tried to be the leader of these people, but the people had to choose. So again, Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 20 is kind of long, but it is his end speech to Israel. And if we get this right, it'll be very helpful for us in the end too. "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." So after reading all of this repetitive, obey, be blessed, disobey, be cursed, I thought it might be helpful to draw up a chart. And if the chart could come up on the screen now, we'll look at my chart of choices. From Joshua 24, 15, he says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Kind of important. So, the way I looked at the history of the Old Testament characters, you can see that my chart, it's not at all conclusive, it's just some thoughts I had regarding this repetitive stuff in the Old Testament. That if you choose God, You will have life, blessings, faith, hope, love, joy, fellowship, protection, and safety, and eternal life. If you choose Satan, the opposite will be true. So instead of life, you would get death. Instead of blessings, you would get curses. Instead of faith, you would get unbelief. Instead of hope, you would have hopelessness. Instead of love, you would find hate. Instead of joy, you would have despair. Instead of fellowship, you would have loneliness. Instead of protection and safety, you would be attacked and would be in danger. And instead of eternal life with God, you would have desolation and destruction. In Joshua's final review of his life and his final words and accomplishments with the people of Israel, he made a covenant for the people of Israel where they declare, "We will serve the Lord God of Israel." That's in Joshua 24, 24. Then I moved on to one more of our Old Testament friends, King David. Oh, bless his heart. His final words after all of his, what can you say, adventures and all of his experiences in his life, his final words to Solomon, his son, were in 1 Kings 2, 3, and 4. He tells Solomon, "Take courage and be a man. Observe the requirements of the Lord your God and follow all his ways. Keep the decrees, commands, regulations, and laws written in the law of Moses, so that you will be successful in all you do and wherever you go. If you do this, then the Lord will keep the promise he made to me. He told me, 'If your descendants live as they should and follow me faithfully with all their heart and soul, one of them will always sit on the throne of Israel.'" That's quite a promise. After reviewing the final words of Moses, Joshua, and David, it appears that correct leadership was given in a repetitive cycle to the Israelites after all, and my frustration was just unneeded. The people did choose to refuse God at times. Stories and ideas of the Bibles that are told over and over and over in many different ways should get our attention. Jesus often gave us concepts through different parables that had the same theme to catch our attention. Well, God must have been noticing this repetitive cycle over and over again, and he had a solution. He comes up with an final solution to the endless cycle of generations following or not following, loving or not loving the Lord our God with all of their hearts. He sent Jesus to earth. That was his solution, to communicate in a more direct way by becoming human and sharing our experience with us. He tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life, from John 3:16. He was crucified for our sins, and by his blood on the cross, he is the only way we can be saved. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not rocket science. God wants us to love him with our whole heart. It's an all-in proposition. By faith, we are saved. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, that no one can boast." So if it's by faith we are saved, I think we should look at faith a little closer and say, what is faith? Luke 1:37 says, "For nothing is impossible with God." Faith does not make things easy. It makes them possible. What is faith? In closing, I would like to share what I have learned about faith in the last few years. My professor and instructor on the topic of faith came from a very unexpected source. Look at the screen. This is my grandson, Zachary. When he was 3 years old, he started to notice that his cousin got a new baby sister, and he asked his parents when he could get a new baby. They had to tell him that his mommy couldn't have any more children after her surgery, but they told him they were open to praying and asking God for more children if he wanted them to grow their family. Zach took that to heart, and he prayed the sweetest prayers to God unceasingly. He prayed each mealtime blessing, every bedtime prayer, and any other time he was asked to pray at Sunday school or in any family gathering. He always included asking God for a new baby. During the next year, his prayer got more specific. It changed for a request for a baby brother. Then it progressed. I'm progressed to a thank you for his baby brother, Isaac. When we asked how he knew his name would be Isaac, and why Isaac, he responded, "I just know." His next revision of the prayer was to intently pray for his baby brother and a baby sister. He totally prayed with expectation and thanksgiving for his baby brother Isaac and his baby sister. His prayers were intensifying, and now he prayed for their health and well-being. Picture number two up on the screen it's hard to see, but let me just kind of describe it. It is a drawing that Zach made, I believe, in Sunday school one Sunday, where he was asked to draw his family. So, So the left-hand side, that little stick person, is Mom. The big person next to Mom is Dad. The little person down by Dad's feet is Zach himself. And then there's a great big doorknob. That's their front door on their house that is behind them. And then between the doorknob and Dad's head is baby brother. And then to the right is baby sister. And he comes home from Sunday school with this drawing of his family. Everybody else drew their family the way it existed, but Zach had enough faith to expect this was his family, even though two of those didn't exist at the time. And this was during the time when he was doing this constant praying for siblings day and night. We're thinking, what happens if this doesn't happen? How are we going to deal with this heartbroken soul? But my son and daughter-in-law had done foster care, and they were aware of an adoption agency, and they applied with making a scrapbook for prospective birth parents thinking of the possibility of an adoption option. Zach helped in the process of putting together the scrapbook, and they prayed over the scrapbook before submitting it to the agency. Shortly after submitting all the paperwork and scrapbook, they received a call that their family had been chosen by a local pregnant couple that was requesting a meeting with them. Oh, how family members now were joining in on the excitement with Zach. Prayers were going up like crazy now. But our prayers were cautious prayers in God. If it's your will, please save Zachary's little heart. That's the kind of things we prayed. We were all cautious, but Zach was certain. every step of the process, we were all trying to leave it in God's hand. When the couple had locked in their decision to choose our family for their adoption, we were sent sonogram pictures of Isaac, and the rejoicing began. Picture number three. This is exactly how he was every day. He was so excited, and he wanted to show this picture to everybody he met. Well, Isaac was born on Valentine's Day in 2021. Chelsea was able to be the birth mom's coach, and Isaac came home from the hospital directly to Matt and Chelsea's home. That's my son and daughter-in-law. Zach was ecstatic, and so were we. So our next picture is of Zachary welcoming Isaac home. And then the second picture, he just adored him. They were just like, you know, best friends always. Our faith was encouraged, and my husband Jim and I went down to Tucson to meet Isaac and rejoice with our kids. It was such a rich time of God's blessing, but Zach was consistent in his prayers. Now, his prayers were in thanks for Isaac and praying for his baby sister. One bedtime, I was tucking Zach into bed on this visit, and I asked him, now that we had Isaac, maybe this would be the only addition to their family. He looked at me square in the eyes and said, Grandma, I know God is bringing me a new baby sister too. So I sheepishly left the room and said goodnight. And that next year for me was a whirlwind with the death of my dad and the declining health and death of my husband of 46 years. Memorial services and new life adjustments and grief surrounded the choices I had to make. God does have a sense of humor, and he is so alive and involved in our lives if we just let him join us with love. After Isaac's first birthday, my kids learned that Isaac's birth mom was pregnant again and was seeking another adoption for this baby. And wait for it, this baby was a girl. Picture number five. There she is. Zach's prayers were being granted right in front of our grieving hearts and tearful eyes. So many miracles had to happen to adopt this baby girl, because she was in Florida now, and we had to get her to Arizona. This was also during COVID lockdowns. State paperwork to complete, attorneys to coordinate from the two states, and courtroom hearings presented to judges, inspections to clear, a new car that will hold enough car seats for all, time off work, a place to stay in Florida for who knows when we need it and how long we'll need it, and transportation to who knows when I need to get to the hospital and how I come home on an airplane. We just dropped it all in God's lap and said, well, Zach's got this, and we're just going to follow God's leading. God worked every single detail. So many I haven't even mentioned here. He worked them all out from March, when we first heard of the child, to June. In the world of newborn adoptions, that is unprecedented. Lily Grace was born in June of 2022 with Chelsea in the delivery room coaching the birth mom and welcoming our miracle into the world. We all know she is the gift from God that Zach prayed for, and all of us got a premium lesson in faith. So number six picture, that's Lily. And the next picture is all of the answers to prayer. Blessings for unceasing prayer and faithful expectations I have witnessed the faith of a three-year-old and the never-ending love of God that blesses the choices to follow him. Joshua 24:15 says, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And 2 Corinthians says, thanks to God for this indescribable gift. Let's close in prayer. My closing prayer is taken from the devotional written by Sarah Young, entitled Jesus Listens. Lord, you've been helping me understand that joy is a choice. I don't have much control over my circumstances, but I can still choose to be joyful. You created me a little lower than the heavenly beings, and you gave me an amazing mind with the ability to think things through and make decisions. I've learned that my thoughts are extremely important because they strongly influence my emotions and behavior. So endeavoring to make good thought choices is well worth my efforts. This has been true in my life, and I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to share this adventure in our lives with this congregation today. Amen.